time for Bookworm. This is the show for avid readers and those that should be avid readers on the Voice America Kids channel. Now, here's your host.
Thank you and welcome to Bookworm. My name is Lindsay Marie and we are reading books, like always. Okay, so, and I don't know if I told you this last week, but we are planning to do a plants and bugs themes. But we didn't get a chance to go to the library. So instead of plants and bugs, we're going to do a Dr. Seuss. Dr. Seuss. Not Dr. Seuss. Okay, let's get to reading. I had trouble getting to Salasulu by Dr. Seuss. Let me flip to the right page. Okay. I was real happy and carefree and young, and I lived in a place where called the Valley of Bung. And nothing, not anything, ever went wrong until, well, one day I was walking along, and I guess I got careless, I guess I got gnawing at daisies not looking where I was walking. That's how it started. Sock, what a shock. I stubbed my big toe on a very hard rock. I flew through the air and I went for a sail, and I sprained my main bone and the tip of my tail. Now I never had troubles before, so I say to myself, I don't want any more. If I watch out for rocks, my eyes straight ahead. I will keep out of trouble forever, I said. But watching ahead, it just didn't work. I was watching those rocks when I felt a quick jerk. A very first green-handed Quiddigan Quill sneaked up from in back and went after my tail. And I had learned there are troubles of more than one kind, so some came from ahead and some came from behind. So I said to myself, now I just have to start to be twice as careful and be twice as smart. I'll watch out for trouble in front and back sections by aiming my eyeballs in different directions. I found this to be a quite difficult stunt, but now I am safe in both back and the front. Then new troubles came from above and below, skirts at my neck and shrink at my toe. And now I was really in trouble, you know, the rocks, the quail, and the skirt, and the squirts, and the skirks. I had so many troubles I just couldn't think. There I was, all completely surrounded by trouble, when a chap rumbled up a one-wheeler wobble. Young fellow, what has happened to you has happened to me and to other folks too. So I'll tell you what I have decided to do. I'm off to the city of Salasulu, on the banks of beautiful River Wahoo, where they never have troubles, at least very few. It's not very far, and my camel is strong. He'll get us there fast. So hop on, come along. I jumped up behind him, and then all through the day, the wobble wobbled in a wobblesome way. The road got more bumpy and more rocky and more tricky. By midnight, I tell you, my stomach felt icky. So I said, Mister, please, when do we get to that wonderful town? Aren't we almost there yet? Young fellow, he told me, don't start in too soon. At sunrise, we'll drive into Salasulu, and you'll have no more troubles. I promise I do. But when the dawn finally came and the darkness got light, that wonderful city was nowhere in sight. Instead of the city, we ran into trouble. Our camel got sick and he started to bubble. We had to pull him in the one-wheeler wobble. So there we are in a dreadful position. Our camel sure needed a camel physician. Now, doctors for camels are not often seen, especially on mountains. They're far, far between. We pulled that old wobble and set out to find some doctor while dragging the camel behind. I pulled and pulled and pulled. The next thing I knew, I was pulling the wobble and the wobble chap too. Now, really, I thought, this is rather unfair, but he said, used to, I'm doing my share. This is called teamwork. I furnish the brains. You furnish the muscles and aches and the pains. I'll pick the best roads. I'll tell you where to go. And we'll find a good doctor more quickly, you know. And he sat and worked with his brain and his tongue. And he bossed me around just because I was young. He told me to go left and he told me to go right. And that's what he told me all day and all night. Next morning, we located Dr. Sam Snell, who knew all about this tonsils and camels as well. Our camel, he said, has backaches and leaks and should lie flat on a bed for at least 20 weeks. I was tired and I wanted to crawl into that bed, but the wobble chap sent me away. Okay, so Wobble Chap sent me away, and he said, your troubles are particularly all at end. Just run down that hill and around the next bend, and you'll come to the happy west, way west route, my friend. The happy way bus leaves at 4:42, and it will take you directly to South Australia. On the banks of the beautiful River of Wahoo, there they never had troubles, at least very few. Well, the bus stop was there. And that part was just fine, but he tacked on a stick and with a very small sign, saying, notice to passengers using our line, we are sorry to say that our driver, Butch Myers, ran over our four nails and had perched all tires. So, for their notice, the 4:42 cannot possibly take you to sell a salute. But I wish you the most pleasant journey by feet, signed the bus line president, Horace P. Sweet. So I went on my feet, thanks to Horace P. Sweet, and that Horace P. Sweet almost ruined my feet. And 100 miles later, my feet were so sore, then wouldn't you know it started to pour. I was drenched to the skin when a chap in a slicker splashed up and yelled, it's the midwinter jicker. The midwinter jicker came early this year, and it's not going to be very comfy around here. Any fool who would get out, so I packed all my things and I'm off. Granddaddy's out in Palm Springs. Take cover, he yelled. Use my house if you wish. Then the champ in the slicker splashed off like a fish. I ran into the house and fell in a heap. I needed my rest, but I just couldn't sleep. Did you ever sleep when your feet were like ice when a family of owls and mice? I listened all night to the growls and the yowls and the chattering of teeth of those mice and those owls. While the midwinter jicker howled horrible howls, I tossed and flipped and I flopped and I flipped. It was 5:15 when I finally slept. Then I dreamed of sleeping on billowy billows of socks, soft silk and satin marshmallow stuffed pillows. I dreamed I was sleeping in Sol Salu on the banks of a beautiful river Wahoo, where they never had troubles, at least very few. But then I woke up and it wasn't true. I was crashing downhill on a fabulous flood with studs in my eyes and my mouth full of mud and nose full of water and my ears full of shrieks. The owls of flying off with the mice in their beaks. So I said to myself, well, no, I really don't see why troubles have to happen to me. I floated 12 days without toothpaste or soap. I practically almost have given up hope. When someone high shouted, here, catch the rope. Then I knew my troubles had come to an end, and I climbed to the rope, calling, thank you, my friend. I got to the top, but it wasn't a friend. I saw that my troubles were not to an end. The big man on the horse scared me out of my wits. He bellowed, I'm General Guys Can Smitch. There's a war going on, and it's the time that you knew every lad in this land has his duty to do. We're marching to the battle, and we need you, my boy. We're about to attack, we're about to destroy. The pillarless pursuer of populous pass, so get into line, you're a private first class. He gave me a shooter and one little bead, which is not very much if you see what I mean. And he'll get that pooter, attack without fear. The glorious moment of victory is near. And the glorious general led me advance with glorious swish in his sword and his lance, and a glorious clank of his tin-plated pants. And when he went around the corner, in fact, alas, there was more than one poo through the populous pass. And Guinness Gallon Smidge shouted to his men, "This happens in war every now and again. Sometimes you are winners, sometimes you are losers. But we can never win against so many poosers. And so I suggested a time to retreat." And the army raced off with his tin-pointed feet. Well, let's take a break. We'll be right back with this book after we take a break. I'm Lindsay Marie, and you're listening to Bookworm.
Looking for an on-air community where teens talk and the world listens? Tune in to Express Yourself, an entertaining adolescent fusion radio program where passion and possibility populate the airwaves. Our vivacious teen hosts and star-studded field reporters from around the country offer stimulating segments and invigorating viewpoints connecting with the world campus of young people. We'll talk with cool celebrities, exhilarating experts, and tenacious teens with experience. Tuesdays at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids. Express yourself.
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Do you think that you can't change the political system in our country? Well, one host is doing that and started at age 13. Join Connor Brantley for Hello, the Future is Calling. Our show takes an inside look at what's going on in national, state, and local government from a new and very unique perspective. Connor holds our elected officials accountable and will bring you an unbiased look at what's really going on. Listen for Hello, the Future is Calling every Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on Voice America Kids. Help make a difference. Put that book down and listen. You're tuned in to Bookworm on Voice America Kids. Now back to our show.
Welcome back to Bookworm. My name is Lindsay Marie, and you're listening to Bookworm. I always do that, but let's get back to the book. I had trouble getting to Salal Salu by Dr. Seuss. And again, it is Dr. Seuss Day in the Bookworm show because we didn't get to go to the library and get some plants and bugs books. So we're reading Dr. Seuss. But let's get back. There I was with more poosers than I've ever seen. There I was with my shooter and only one bean. There I was, and I thought, I'll never get through to the wonderful city of Salal Salu on the banks of beautiful River Wahoo, where they never had troubles, at least very few. I had terrible trouble in staying alive, and I saw an old pipe that said vent number 5. And I didn't have to time find out what that meant, but the vent had a hole, and the hole's where I went. Well, that vent where I went was sort of a funnel. It led me down to the frightful black tunnel. The traffic down there was a mess, but I must say, with billions of birds going all the wrong way. They bumped me with bikes, and they banged me with dishes. I ran into ladders and beds, bottles and fishes. I skidded on garbage and fell on a horn, troubles I wished I had never been born. I was down there for 3 days in that bird-filled-up place. At least 8,000 times I fell smack on my face. I injured 3 fingers, both thumbs and both lips, my shin bone, my backbone, my wishbone, and my hips. And what's more, I was starved. I had nothing to eat. And damp, it was damp. I grew moss on my feet. Then just when I thought I could stand it no more, but by chance I discovered a tiny trap door. I popped my head out, and the gray sky was blue, and I knew from the flowers I finally came through to the banks of the beautiful River Wahoo. It couldn't be far from Salal Salu. There it was, with glittering towers in the air. I had made it. I had done it. At last, I was there. I knew that I had left my troubles behind when the chap in the doorway shimmered and shined, waved at me with a friendly and kind. "Welcome," he said, and he gave me his hand. "Welcome, my son, to this beautiful land. Welcome to sweet, sunny Salal Salu, where there never have troubles, at least very few. As a matter of fact, we only have one. Imagine just one little trouble, my son, and this one trouble that you now see is one trouble I have with my key." There's only one door to Solace the Loom. They have to keep slapping Slippered. We do. This troublesome Slippered moves into my door 2 weeks ago, Tuesday, 3:45. Since then, I can't open the door anymore, and I can't kill the Slippered. It's very bad luck to kill any Slippered, and that's why we're stuck, and no one gets into town gone pot. It's a terrible state of affairs. Is it not? And so, the doorman of Solace the Loom, my job at the door is... Here's finished. I'm through. And I'll tell you that I've decided to do. I'm leaving Solace on the banks of River Wahoo, where they never have troubles, at least very few, and I'm off to the city Bula Bubal, the banks of the beautiful River Wuha Wall, where they never have troubles, no troubles at all. Come along with me, he said, as he ran, and never have any more troubles, young man. And I had no more troubles at all. No more troubles, that's what the man said. So I started to go, but I didn't. Instead, I did some quick thinking inside of my head. Then I started back home to the Valley of Velk. I know I'll have troubles, but maybe I'll get stung. I'll always have troubles. I'll maybe get bit by that green-hooded quail on the place where I sit. But I never thought of that big bat. I've bought a big bat, and I'm ready, you see. Now my troubles are going to have the troubles with me. And that was, I Had Trouble Getting to Solace the Loom by Dr. Seuss. Man, I should really have a water bottle when I'm reading, because it just dries out your mouth reading a Dr. Seuss book. There's so long, so many words. Well, it's time to read another one called Dr. Seuss's Sleep Book. No, I like to sleep a lot. Okay, so let's start. The Nuisance came from County of Keck, where a very small bug by the name of Valvec is yawning so wide you can look down his neck. This may not be seen very important, you know, but it is, so I'm bothering to tell you so. Yawn is quite catching, you see, like a cough. Now it just takes one yawn to start other yawns off. Now the news has come with some friends of Van Vlex are now yawning so wide you can look down their necks. At this moment right now, under 7 more noses, a great yawns are blossoming and blooming like roses. The yawn of the one bug is still spreading. According to the latest reports, it is heading across wide fields through the sleepy night air, across the whole country towards every which where. And people are gradually starting to say, I'd rather feel drowsy. I've had quite a day. Creatures are starting to think about rest. Two Biffer-bond birds are now building their nest. They do it each night, and quite often I wonder how they do this big job without making a blunder. But what is their problem? Not yours and not mine. The point is, we're going to bed, and that is fine. Sleep thoughts are spreading throughout the whole land. The time for the night bursting teeth is at hand. Up at Herkimer Falls, where the great river rushes and crashes down and cracks down. The great river rushes and crashes and crags and great gargling gushes, and the Herkimer sisters are using their brushes. Those falls are just grand for toothbrushing beneath if you happen to be up that way with your teeth. The news just came from a castle of Kerp that the lights are all out and the drawbridge is up. And the old drawbridge just said with the yawn, my drawbridge is drawn, and I'm going to say drawn till the milkman delivers the milk about dawn. I'm going to bed now, so nobody better come round with a special delivery letter. The numbers of sleepers are steadily growing. My bed is where more people are going, and In Guppler Springs and the Stiltwalkers Hall, the Stiltwalkers St- stilts are stacked on the wall. The stilt walkers have called it a day. They're tuckered out and they're snoozing away. This is a very big news. It's important to know, and that's why I'm bothering to tell you so. Way on the west in the town of Merced, the Hinglehorn Honking Club just went to bed. Every horn has been quietly hung on a hook for the night in its own private Hinglehorn nook. All this long, happy day, they've been honking about, and this little Hinglehorn honkers have honked themselves out. But they'll wake up quite fresh in the morning, and then they'll start right in Hinglehorn honking again. Everywhere creatures are falling asleep, the colblastic fring just collapsed in a heap. And by adding the fring to others before, I'm able to give you the who's asleep score. Right now, 40,404 creatures are happily deeply in slumber. I think you'll agree that's a whooping fine number. Counting up sleepers, just how do we do it? Really quite simple. There's nothing much to it. We found out how many, we learned the amount to by audio tally-o-tally-o-count. On a mountain halfway between Reno and Rome, we have a machine that Plegasystome, which listens and looks into everyone's home, and whenever it sees a new sleeper go flop, it jingles and lets the bingo ball drop. Our chap counts these balls as they plump in a cup, and that's how we know who's down and who's up. Do you talk in your sleep? It's a wonderful sport, and I have some news of this sport to report. The world champion sleep talkers, Joe and Bredzoff, have gone to sleep and they're talking their heads off. 45 years now, each chattering brother has bubbled and gabbled every night to each other. They talked about laws and they talked about gauze. They talked about paws and they talked about flaws. They talk quite a lot about old Santa Claus, and the reason I'm telling this is because you should take up this sport. It's just fun for the jaws. But we will get back to this book after the break. My name is Lindsay Marie, and you're listening to Bookworm.
What about the world concerns you? Is it future success? Is it world issues? Are you just looking to change the world in general? Tune in to What Up World. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, or what you look like. Everyone is entitled to the same chance for success. Follow your dreams. Move forward. Make a difference. Tune in to What Up World every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
Sometimes we may sound strange, but remember, we're just kids with opinions. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Are you ready to explore the amazing world under the sea? Your host is a certified scuba diver, explorer. He likes to cook. And most of all, he's just a kid like you. You'll find out a lot more lies under the sea than what you've seen on TV, in movies, and even in aquatic parks. You'll learn about all kinds of fish, as well as other sea creatures. We'll take you to some exotic destinations and so much more. There's a whole big world under sea just waiting to be discovered. Tune in to Under the Sea, Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Voice America Kids.
Yeah.
record your 15 minutes of fame? How about four times that every single week? It's the Fame Game. Listen as Maddie Rose, who is up and coming in the world of fame, brings you fame from all walks of life. You'll hear from doctors, teachers, mentors, life heroes, as well as those in the fields of acting, movies, music, and more. Who knows? You might be the next one Maddie Rose talks to on the air. Listen for the Fame Game every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids Channel.
You're listening to Voice America Kids, now with 33% more active ingredients and no artificial coloring.
You're a responsible person, and you're trying to do everything you can to save the planet. But are you doing enough? We've got the right person to help you keep on thinking green. Mario Jr. is the host of Alive in Green. The show is all about green tips, staying environmentally friendly, and having fun while doing something great for our Mother Earth. You'll want to check out the show Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel. If we all do our part now, it'll only mean a brighter and better future for us later.
Put that book down and listen. You're tuned in to Bookworm on Voice America Kids. Now back to our show.
Welcome back to Bookworm. My name is Lindsay Marie and you're listening to Bookworm. I said it again. Okay, so we were reading a Dr. Seuss book called The Sleeping Book. And we were, doesn't have page numbers, but we just finished talking about the sleep talkers. Now we're about to talk about sleepwalkers. Sleepwalking, too, are the curious candles who sleepwalk on hills, are the story-sized candles, and the grandals walk nightly in slumbering peace. Inspired slight burns from their hot, dripping grease. The crandles wear candles because they walk far, and if they wake up, they want to see where they are. Now the news has arrived from the Valley of Vale that the Chippendale bump has been bitten its tail, which he does every night before shutting his eyes, which dipping sounds silly, but it's really it's wise. He has no alarm clock, so this way he makes sure that he'll wake up at the right time of day, so his tail is so long he won't feel any pain till the nip makes the trip and gets up to his brain. Exactly 8 hours, the Chippendale bump will at last feel the bite and yell, ouch, and wake up. And Mr. and Mrs. J. Camaro Croc have just gone to bed near the town of Fort Knox. And they, by the way, have the finest of clocks. And I'm not sure that I quite understand just how the thing works, that one extra hand. But I do know this clock does one very slick trick. It does not tick tock. How it goes. It is tock tick. So the ticks and its talker and the talks and its ticker. It saves lots of time and the sleepers sleep quicker. Oh, and in between that page where I was, like, silent, I had a book that it was really long by Dr. Seuss called If I Ran the Circus. And we were counting the pages to see how many pages there are because there's no page numbers. And we found out that it was 58, and we pretty much all guessed 50, so we were pretty much all closest. So let's get back to the book. What a fine night for sleeping. From all that I hear, that the best night is for sleeping in many a year. They're even asleep in the Zippelwick Motel, the Zippelwack Motel. And the people don't usually sleep there too well. Their beds are like rocks, and they won't cover your toes. So if people are actually sleeping there, it's a great night for sleeping. It must be in the air. It's a great night for snores. I just had a report of some boys on the tops of the musical sport. The snortiest snorers in all of our fair land are the Snorter McPhail and the Snort Band. This band can snore Dixie in old Swanee River, so loud they would make 40 elephants shiver. The loudest of all, Boys McPhail, he snorts with his head in a three gallons pail. So they snore in the cave 20 miles out of town. If they snore closer in, they would snore the town down. But do you know who's asleep out in the Fauna Lagoon? Two very nice Fauna Lagoon baboona. So we've added them to our Who's Asleep count, which has grown to a really amazing amount. Exactly 8,888 creatures are sleeping now. Isn't that great? A jed is in bed, and the bed of a jed is the softest of beds in the world. It is said he makes it from pom-poms he grows on his head, and he is sleeping right now on the softest of fluff, completely exhausted from growing his stuff. The news has come from the district of Doft that two oft are sleeping in their sleeping aloft. And how do we know they're able to sleep off the ground? I'll tell you, I've weighed one last week, and I found that the oft is so light, he weighs minus 1 pound. Which means he doesn't even weigh 1 pound. So, a moose is asleep, he is dreaming of moose drinks. A goose is asleep, he is dreaming of goose drinks. That is well and good when a moose dreams of moose juice, and nothing goes wrong when a goose dreams of goose juice. But it's too good when a moose and a goose start dreaming they're drinking one another's juice. Moose juice, not a goose juice, is a juice for a moose, and the goose juice is not a moose juice, is a juice for a goose. So when a goose gets a mouthful of juices of a moose, and moose gets a mouthful of juices of gooses, they always fall out of their bed scream. So I'm warning you now, never drink in your dreams. Speaking of dreams, I think you should know that the Bumble Tub Club is now dreaming afloat. Every night they go dreaming down Bumble Tub Creek, except for one night every third or fourth week. They stop for repairs because their bumble tubs leak, but tonight they're afloat, full of dreams, full of bliss, and that's why I'm bothering to tell you this. At the fork of the road, the veil of the mode, 5 foot very salesmen have laid down their load, and all day they've raced down the heat, top speeds, unusefully trying to sell zizzer zoo seeds, which nobody wants to because nobody needs. Tomorrow will come and they'll go back to their chore. They'll start on the road with zizzer zoo thing once more. But tonight they've forgotten their feet are so sore, and that's when the wonderful night is time phase four. Everywhere, creatures have shut off their voices. They've all gone to bed in their bed of choices. They're sleeping in bushes, they're sleeping in crannies, some of them on stomachs and some of them on fannies. They're peacefully sleeping in comfortable holes, some even on soft to tufted barbershop poles. The number of sleepers is now past the millions. The number of sleepers is now in the billions. This is a long book. I can't believe we're not finished yet. It's about sleep. They're sleeping on steps and on strings and on floors, on mailboxes, ships, and the keyholes of doors. Every worm on a fish hook is safe for the night. Every fish in the sea is too sleepy to bite. Every whale in the ocean has turned off its spout. Every light between here and far footle is out. And now adding things up, we're way beyond billions. Our Who's Asleep score is now up in the zillions. Which, by the way, zillion is not a real number count. Well, I don't think. I mean, it could, but 99,9,000,000,000,002 creatures are sleeping, so how about you? When you put your when will you put out your light? Then the number will be 99,999,000,000,003. Good night. This book is to be read in bed. I finally finished the book. Ugh. So, that was Dr. Seuss's sleep book. They list of the most pages I've ever read in a picture book. These are more like chapter books. Not picture books. Chapter books. So, the only two books I have left are really, really, really long books. Let's see, 58 plus 58. Okay, so 8 plus 8 is 16. Put the 6 down, put the 1 up. And 5 plus 5 is 10. So, put the 1 over there, 6. So, it's... Together, both books would be about 166 pages if I read them both, I bet. Well, I think I'm not very good at mental math, so if it's wrong, then you understand why. So, I'm not that good at mental math, so. let's take a break. I'm Lindsay Murray, you're listening to Bookworm.
Looking for an on-air community where teens talk and the world listens? Tune in to Express Yourself, an entertaining adolescent fusion radio program where passion and possibility populate the airwaves. Our vivacious teen hosts and star-studded field reporters from around the country offer stimulating segments and invigorating viewpoints connecting with the world campus of young people. We'll talk with cool celebrities, exhilarating experts, and tenacious teens with experience. Tuesdays at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids. Express yourself.
The longer you listen, the later it gets. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Looking for a show about your favorite movies, stars, and DVD releases? Get ready for Kids First Coming Attractions on the Voice America Kids channel. Your hosts, all 8 of them, have been selected by Kids First as film critics through a national competition. Each week, they will preview new movies before you see them, walk the red carpet with the stars, and will review the latest DVDs. Our hosts range from ages 7 to 14 to give you a wider kids' perspective. Kids First Coming Attractions is heard every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific on Voice America Kids.
Put that book down and listen. You're tuned in to Bookworm on Voice America Kids. Now back to our show.
Uno. Welcome back to Bookworm. My name is Lindsay Marie, and you're listening to Bookworm. Yeah, I said it twice. That's how I do it. So, I'm going to read the book that is 58 pages, but probably about halfway into the segment, I will stop and we can talk about things of all things and things of my favorite book of things. Okay, so let's read If I Ran the Circus by Dr. Seuss, which is 58 pages. In all in the whole town, the most wonderful spot is behind the Sneelock store in the big vacant lot. It's the right spot for my wonderful plan, said young Morris McGunk, if I clean up the cans. No fellow like me, said young Morris McGunk, would get rid of this junk in a half hour's work. I would yank up those weeds and chop down the dead tree and haul those old cars. There are just two or three. And then the whole place would be ready, you see. Sorry, there's this weird music playing, and I don't know what it is. I'm like, it's coming from the other studio, but someone in there? Oh. There might be a dance party. Might be able to go after the show. All ready to put up the tents of my circus. I will call it the Circus McGurks. The Circus McGurks, the world's greatest show on the face of the earth or wherever you go. This is actually really good, you know? Part of town, people. Well, I guess we have to keep reading. Okay, the music's going sad again. Why does that keep happening? It goes, yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's like, oh. And I'm like, seriously? Seriously, I want to listen to the, yeah, yeah. Not the, ooh, yeah. Okay, let's get back to writing. The Circus McGurks, the cream of the cream. The Circus McGurks, the circus supreme. The Circus McGurks, colossal, stupendous. Outstanding, fantastic, terrific, tremendous. I'll bring my acrobats, jugglers, and clowns from 1,033 faraway towns to the place that you'll see them, and ladies and gents, right behind this She Knocks door in the Great McGurk tent. And I don't suppose old Miss Sinnock will mind when this suddenly has a big circus arrive. After all, Miss Seaslock is one of my friends. He might even help doing out small odds and ends. He might even help doing, oh, I already said that one. Doing little odd jobs. He could be one of some aid, such as selling balloons and pink lemonade. I think 500 gallons would be about right, and then I'll be ready for the opening night. What an opening night, what a night, what a sight. I'll hoist up the curtains and the crowds will crowd in, and my Circus McGurks will probably begin with a welcoming to and my welcoming horn. And my welcoming horn-tooting apes from the jungles of Jorn, where the very best horn-tooting apes are all born, because the very fresh air there is fine for their lungs, and some of those fellows have two or three tongues. This way, step right in. This way, ladies and gents. My sideshow starts here in the first of my tents. Where you will see what goes on, you'll say that no other circuses have the great circus of the Circus McGurk is. Here on stage one from the Ocean of Ulf is the sight most amazing, a walrus named Rolf, who can stand on one whisker, his wonderful Rolf, on the top of five balls, two for tennis, three golf. It's a marvelous trick, if I say so myself. And here on stage number two is something quite new. From a country called Frum comes this drum-sum who can drum any tune that you might care to hum. Doesn't hurt him a bit because his drum tummy's numb. Of course, pebbles like this are quite hard to collect, but Sneedlock will manage somehow, I expect. After all, Mr. Sneedlock is one of my friends, and I'm sure he'll help out doing some small odds and ends. Oops, I missed a page accidentally. And you now meet the Foon, a remarkable Foon, who eats sizzling hot pebbles that fall off the moon. And the reason he likes them red hot, as it appears, he greatly enjoys blowing smoke from his ears. On stage number four, you'll see Willy Waloo, who can throw his long tail as short as a lasso with a flip of the hip, and with the tail of his kind, he can capture whoever's standing behind. He can capture an old Seamlock. I'm sure he won't mind. And who now And now here is Hoodwink, who winks in his wink hood without a good wink hood. A hoodwink can't wink good. And folks, let me tell you, there's only one circus with a wink hood and hoodwinks. The circus McGurk's. The show of all shows, there is no other showman who shows you a show from the blindfolded bowman. Who will show the blindfolded bowman from a bringer barut. The world's sharpest sharpshooter look at him shoot. Through the holes of four donuts. Two hairs of one, two hairs on a worm without making them squirt. And two hairs on a worm and three knees of birds without making them squirm. And then on through the crab apple up on the head of Seanock, who likes to help out, as I said. And now come to the spot where the spotlight is hot, and you'll see the spotlight a juggling jot, who can juggle some stuff you might not think he could, such as 22 question marks, which is a lot. Also 40 commas, and also one tie. That dot. That's the kind of a circuit McGurk's I've got. But that is just my sideshow, a beginning to what is to a big tent. You'll find your head spinning, why, ladies and gentlemen, youngsters and oldsters, your heads will quite likely spin off right off your shoulders. Your heads will So hurry, step lively, quick, ladies and gents, and get in your seats in my tent of all tents. My parades is about to commence. You'll see the drum major Sneedlock fling and flank his baton, and my organ McOrgan Gunks come on, with his hot steaming pipes and his gold brass plated tin snorting all the snorts of all bum blading din. That is Super Stupendous, and then I play Dixie, please join in the chorus. And then a huff in the muffled truff right on a huffle next to the line of fine flummox will shuffle. The flummox will carry a lurch and a pail, and a fibble will carry the flummox's tail. Well, on top of the flummox, three harped, twanging, sharp will ting, mighty twangs on their three sharper harp. While the bolster blows bloops on a three-knots of bluser, and Nolster blows flops on a one-knots of newster. And then comes a lion who's partly a trout, more stuff 45 minutes about. And then behind them, and then while everyone stares, come my to and fro marches, who march in five layers. The froes march on toes, and the toes march on froes. Don't know how they do it, but that's how it goes. Well, we'll finish this book before the show ends, but let's take a break. I'm Lindsay Murray. You're listening to Bookworm.
You've been listening to Bookworm on the Voice America Kids channel. We'll be here at the same time next week, so be sure to tune in. Now, how many books do you think you can get through before our next show?
From Bookworm, and now from the Kidstar Album of the Month. Here's Mr. Saxophone Dave Farther with Mothership.
You and I are on a voyage. Can't you feel the planet move beneath your feet? The ship were on weight anchor long ago. It's a few and not a keep of sailing sweet. Saw a red sunrise this morning. The view from in the crow's nest wasn't good. Time for sailors to take warning. The storm on the horizon says we should. Receiving a call from the mothership. Di-di-di-da-da-da-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di
da 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 di di di. Three dots and dashes mean save our ship. Di 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 da 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 di di di. We're all aboard, so let's answer it. Di 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 da 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 di di di. On our journey through the Milky Way, we weather storms of carelessness and greed. Keep your sea legs and your bearings, or we'll capsize on this black and starry sea. With the North Star as our compass, sailing round the warm and shiny sun. We can't afford to go overboard, it's our vessel and our lifeboat all in one. Seating a car from the mothership. Di-di-di-da-da-da, di-di-di-di. She's sending a signal, it's decoded. Di-di-di-da-da-da, di-di-di. Three dots and dashes would save our ship. Di-di-di-da-da-da, di-di-di. We're all aboard, so let's answer it. Di-di-di-da-da-da, di-di-di. Signal is decoded. Di 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 da da da. Di di di. Three dots and dashes would save our ship. Di 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 da da da. Di di di. We're all aboard, so let's answer it. Di 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 da da da. Di di di. Di 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 da da da. Di di di. Di 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 da da da. Di di di.
That was Dave Farber, Mr. Saxophone, from the Kidstar Album of the Month. Check it out on our website, kidstar.org.